If you would please join me, we're going to be in John chapter 15, and as you can tell, then we're going to finish out that chapter, and we're going to be looking at verses 18 to 25. John 15, starting at verse 18. And if you would please stand to receive God's words. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Let us give thanks for God's words. O Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that even as you provide so much for us, you continue to provide us the way. That as we hear your words, Father, we ask that you help us to open up our hearts to your message. We ask, Father, that you help us to not only receive it, but to live it out in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I don't know if you can tell or not from where you're sitting, but I'm in a pretty good mood. I was listening to the Bible study lesson downstairs, and we were talking about how sometimes we get the difference between being Martha and Mary, and I think sometimes I have a tendency to be more Martha than Mary. If you remember that story is about Martha, where she's doing all this work, and then Mary goes and she sits and at the feet of Jesus to listen to what he has to say. And so, man, I was just thinking about, how awesome would that be to sit there and to listen to Jesus talk, just to hear the lessons and just to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I got all goose pimply and stuff, and then I realized that many times I'm not Mary, I'm Martha. That sometimes I get really busy with things and I get to be worried about some things that just don't need to be worried about, And as we worry about these things, and we have a tendency to not focus on Jesus during that time, that was the scope of the lesson. And the scope of the lesson, we have to talk about why they were upset with each other. We kind of speculate there a little bit, but that's okay. We're allowed to do that. That we're allowed to look at this and try to figure out what it would mean in our lives and how do we connect with them. But I think that as I sat there and I listened, the thing that really excited me the most was that when Jesus speaks, when he speaks from his truth, when he tells us his stories, from his lessons, his teachings, when we hear these things, that they are forever. They are relevant and they are important in our lives. And as we talk about a Christmas season, and as we even start singing about songs, even when it's really nice outside, there's no snow, but we start doing these things, we realize the significance and the importance of the season we're about to celebrate. We start to understand how our lives creep in on our lives in Christ. And as they creep in, they start to pull us away. And the world is really helpful in that. They're very helpful to speak in our ear and help us to kind of wander away from that as well. You see, I think what we're getting here in Jesus' lesson in the closing of this chapter is that he is encouraging the disciples, and so therefore encouraging us To be willing in our faith and to be unafraid in our faith. That we are to stand firm in our faith no matter what's going on out there, no matter who it is we're standing up against. If we're standing up against ourselves, we have to be firm. You know, we have to be firm with ourselves even. That we stand in what Christ has taught us and not what we would rather have, not what we would rather do. And so as he brings us to this teaching, I was imagining sitting at the feet of Jesus being Mary, and I was listening to the teacher teach about these things, you know, I got to thinking, wow, what would it be like then if we went, you know, Jesus has got the disciples together and he teaches them first about the vines and, you know, his father's the gardener, and then he talks about the, you know, the love and how he loves them, that they love him and they love the Father. And now then he says, but if the world hates you, okay, so come follow me, and people will hate you. Imagine that. So Christmas Eve, we'll be hopefully all here gathered together, and as we're worshiping and celebrating, you know, the birth of Jesus Christ, and we have new visitors, we have new people in the church, and we're speaking on these things, and then we say, you know, join our church, join us so people can hate you. Yeah. Maybe Jesus, okay. Your pastor has a long ways to go before he can actually stand up and say, you know, come join us so you can be hated. But here's the fact of the matter is that Jesus wants us to know. He wants us to understand. He wants them to know. He wants them to see what they're being prepared for. He wants them to understand that this will not be easy. It will not be easy. He's not making them any rosy promises. He's not promising that rose garden. He's not giving to them that, you know, that they think, wow, look what we got and nobody else has. What he wants them to understand is that what he goes through and what we go through, what we worship and praise in him and what we give ourselves of to him, that we see the same circumstances that he did. He said, because of him, you will be hated. Now, there's a word that we have to take a look at here before we really dive into this hard, and that word is world. He says, if the world hates you, all right, and so we need to define that just a little bit. And so the word, the Greek word for that is cosmos. And it does mean, you know, the planet, the earth, you know, and even in some sense the universe. But really the way John uses it here is that he uses it as those who are opposed to God. Those who oppose God. Okay, so when he talks about the world, he is talking about those who reject him and oppose his Father. He says, so if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. So he makes a specification. He specifies for us that we stand outside of something, that we are excluded then from that group that belongs to the world. All right, so as we go through this, then I hope that will help you to make a little bit more sense out of some of these things we're going to. Now, what we're going to look at, there are six ifs. There are six ifs in this that we're going to look at those individually and bring ourselves to an understanding in those. And the first if, then, of course, is in our first verse in 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Now, we get a little help in this from James. James in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, you adulterous people. I love that. I love James. You know, he's writing the church. He says, you adulterous people. Right? You know, okay, so now we're going to be hated. And now he's going to call us you adulterous people. You know, there was that we talked about the soil, you know, we were the dirt, you know, and now you adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, James helps us to understand this significance in this separation as well. That as we look at what Christ is saying, the world hates you, this is what James took away from that. This is what James learned. That he's saying that the adulterous people, and the reference there is not to marriage, but rather it is to those who have walked out of the marriage with Jesus Christ, that he says to them that you adulterous people, you people who sinned against Jesus Christ, you who continue to sin against Jesus Christ, you the unrepentant of Jesus Christ, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity? Okay, you're against God. That you're against God. There's a separation between you and God if you stand as friends with the world. He says, therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend, if you choose that, if you want that in your life, then God will let you have it. That God will let you be friends with the world. So when Jesus says, if the world, the cosmos, all of those who oppose God hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. They didn't hate you because of you. They hated you because of Jesus Christ, because of who you believe and who you stand in. And so as we deal with these things, as we see what he's going to give us, that we can start to understand that Jesus is taking the responsibility. Jesus is saying, it's because of me that they will hate you. If you follow me, you dedicate yourself to me, you commit yourself to Jesus Christ, then you will be hated by the world. And he doesn't add anything on there. He doesn't make it soft. He doesn't make it gray. He just says, this is how it is. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. It's not really your fault, but you're going to take the blame for it. That Christ, who you follow, is hated by the world, and you receive that for what he deserved. That hatred. He gets it too. But he understands that we're going to receive that for him. And so he's helping us to understand in this. So that is the theme as he closes this chapter out for us. All right, so then the next if comes in verse 19. He says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Okay. If you were like the world would just love you. They would think you were awesome. If you would accept the things that they want you to accept, the things that stand against God, you would be in with the world. You would be their friend. They would be friends with you. That they would treat you the way that they think is best suited for those who are their friends. But those who stand opposed to them, those who stand opposed to what the world wants, stand in God. That's our separation. We stand in Jesus Christ. We stand in God, so we stand opposed to the world. And so as the world looks at us then, and they say, well, why do you got to be so mean? Why do you got to be so hating? Why do you always got to talk about people's sins? Why can't you just let the world love itself like it wants to love itself? Why do you keep trying to take that away from us? As a matter of fact, we think that, you do that so much that we are going to fight you so hard that when you look at us that you will see the hatred that we have for you. And so as he offers this up to us, as he reminds us that the world is going to hate us because of where we stand, then he wants also to remind us that as we stand there, it's because he chose us out of the world. He reached out and he saved your soul for him. And as he pulled you out of there, he also pulled you out of the world. And when he brought you over to stand with him in the light that shines in the world, and it shines on them, then they hate you because of him. That now because you stand opposite of the world. And so Jesus sets us up so that we can understand the significance then of what it is that's going on. That we can understand what it is that we're up against as we look into the world, as we deal with the things of the world. Now to this if, I would like to add verse 20. He says, remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. He uses the word persecute. The word persecute can be physical violence. But it's everything that leads up to that as well. That in as they persecute us. Do you ever feel a little walled in? Do you ever feel like when you're out in the world that you're the only one thinking the things that you think about Jesus? That you think that maybe I shouldn't say something because somebody might not like me? You know, that you get caught in this dilemma. This is my friend. But my friend is of the world. You know, what am I going to let go so that my friend will like me? Will I let go of the truth of Jesus Christ so that then they accept me in their world? Or will I stand opposite of that and stand outside of the world in Jesus Christ? You see, those are the dilemmas that we face often. Not just once or twice, but many times in our lives, sometimes several times during the day, that we face this dilemma, this question. Where are we standing? What are we doing? You see, and I think that that's what Mary and Martha was all about. That they were standing in this dilemma. Martha was like, Mary, the way it was explained to me was that Mary, get yourself to work. You're a slacker. You're a slacker. I'm not sure how that translates in the Bible, as a slacker, then Martha was upset with Mary. Get to work. Jesus, tell her to get to work. But you see, Martha was speaking from the world, and so we see here that as he speaks to us, that we stand in the world as well. That as we stand here in this world, we have choices to make all the time. Do we sin or don't we sin? Do you commit a sin? And then, so when you do, you stand outside of God. Do you commit that and think that somehow or other that it's okay with God? That somehow or other, because you're one of his faithful at the church, that you can do this sin. But what Jesus says is if you do that, then you stand outside of him. You stand as friends to the world. And if you stand as friends to the world, you stand in enmity against God. You stand in separation. But he says, remember what I told you, the servant is not greater than the master. So in other words, your master, whatever the master gets, the servant will get. We will stand around the foot of the cross, right? Right? I hope that's our commitment, is that when we stand, when Jesus stands and they persecute Jesus, we will stand there too. That they say, well, who's following this Jesus? Who follows him? And then who stands next to him, because we're going to persecute him? We're going to put him on a cross. Who belongs to him? Who's willing to stand with Jesus? Now, we watch the apostles as they scattered. So the question is left to us as we wait for his return, as we wait for his coming, as we celebrate Christmas that the world would love to have back. But as we celebrate Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ, it gets downplayed a little bit more and a little bit more, doesn't it? But the question becomes for us, who stands with Jesus? Who stands in the story of the Christ child? Who stands at the foot of the cross and says, I will stand right here, no matter how much they persecute me, no matter how much they hate me, no matter how much I persecute myself, no matter how much I hate myself, I will stand here at the foot of the cross because I know what Christ does is the way, is the truth, and is my life. So as we bring ourselves then to understand this hatred that belongs out there in the world, we must understand that they are trying to eliminate Christ. They are trying to erase that from your memories. They are trying to get you to change your mind, to stand with them so that they can have what they want. And Jesus says on the other side of the argument, he says, but don't do it. They're persecuting because of me. They hate you because of me. That if you stand against me, you stand against God. So let's take a look at the next F, if. And actually, it'll be right in 20. If you'll just follow along in 20 there, and then it says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. So if they persecute you, they hate Jesus Christ. They persecute you, they stand against you because you believe in Jesus. And then as you stand opposite of them, you know, Jesus says again, this is an emphasis. He says, they persecute you because of me. He says, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. That if they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Now, there should be an emphasis on this, especially in the word obey. That when he says, these are my teachings, these are the things that I taught you. I gave you a story about Mary and Martha. I gave you a story about a vineyard and the workers. I told you what to expect when you went out into the world, how much they will hate you. Now he says, if you obey, if you obey. And so he says, if they obeyed his teachings, in other words, if they heard his voice and they were chosen by him and they heard his teachings, they would obey him. And he says, and they will obey you too. And the reason they will obey you too is because you're giving them Jesus' teachings, not yours. I try not to ever bring here my teachings. But rather what I do is I bring you the teachings that Jesus Christ has left us in this. And even as we come to them, Jesus is so open and so honest with us. He says, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you because of me. And because of the teachings that I have given you, because of the lessons, the commands, all of the things that he gives us in his scripture, all of the things that he gives us in his deeds that he did, that he sacrificed himself, that God sent his one and only son into the world so that he could be born for our sins. Not for his. But as we look at this and try to bring ourselves to this understanding of these, yes, he says, here's this thing. He says, if they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. If they persecute you, they persecute me. So when they attack you, they attack Christ. But if Christ is in you, then the only things that you can bring are the teachings and the lessons. Loved ones, this is why we have to stand firm in this. That's why we have to look at ourselves and we say, man, are we ever going to talk about anything but the Bible? Well, as long as I'm standing up here, the answer is no. But if you want to talk about something else, you get somebody else to stand up here. But I think that as we look at this, we tell to ourselves, is it just us being fussy? Is it us just being, you know, nitpicky about a lot of things? But I tell you, it's out there. It's out there. I hear that the church of Sweden here just recently, they were concerned about the exclusiveness of Scripture. That they were concerned that, we call God Father, and that we say Him, and we say His, and they're all capitalized, by the way, and we say He. That sounds a little bit misogynistic. In other words, it sounds a little bit like that men don't like women. And we don't like the idea, especially in a world where we're trying to blend and blur the idea of a him and a her. They don't like the idea that it excludes somebody who stands in the middle there somewhere. And so the Church of Sweden made a proposal. They said that God has no sex, that God is gender neutral, and so Scripture should reflect that. Scripture should reflect that God is neither man nor woman, and we don't call him neither man nor woman. Now, as you can imagine, it's caused a little bit of a problem for them. You see, they thought they were reaching out to the world. Say, hey, look, world, we're going to include you. We will come and meet you there by changing this truth that Jesus called God the Father. That in the Trinity, that there is a Father, that there is a Son, and there is a Holy Spirit. And that in the birth of Jesus Christ, that the idea that a Father would give up his Son would be neutered. That the idea then wouldn't be so much that God the Father, but rather God gave a Son. It seems not so bad. It seems a little bit like, you know, okay, you know, he is God. Yeah, he's that. But imagine how much Scripture you have to reject to get to the point where you don't call God the Father. Imagine what you have to say to Jesus then when you stand in front of him and you say, I didn't think there'd be any harm in me not calling your Father, Father. As a matter of fact, Jesus, I think maybe you should just, you know, kind of toe the line a little bit and understand what's going on in the world. But see, the fact of the matter is that this is what Jesus is warning us about. He's warning us through these stories and through these lessons. He's warning us and helping us to understand that if we're going to be persecuted, it's going to be because of him. It's going to be because of him because we're going to stand in the truth. We're going to stand right here. And then whether they say, well, you know what, church, you have to pay taxes now. Or you know what, church, we're going to sue you because, you know, you won't marry same-sex couples. Or you know what, church, this is what we're going to do to you because you stand in this truth here and it's not very nice. But Jesus says, you will know who they are because they would have obeyed my teachings if they had belonged to me. They will obey your teaching also. If you're teaching me. So you see, so he brings us to this understanding. Now we clobbered two more ifs there actually. But as he brings us to this understanding about his teaching then, he brings us to an emphasis in that in verse 21. He says, they will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. You see, Jesus makes it very clear. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. There's no gray. There's no, I believe in God, but not Jesus. There's no God, and then Jesus was just this man. He was a prophet. He was a teacher. And it goes the other way as well. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. He's claiming that he is God. And that as he claims himself to be the Lord God, that as John brings this to us and shows us, and he makes the argument and shows us where Jesus said that, that when Jesus made that statement and when Jesus made those statements, that he made himself God, that if they reject him, they reject God. They cannot have both. Or excuse me, they cannot have one over the other. If they love God, but don't love Jesus, they don't know God. If they know Jesus, they can't reject God. If they want Jesus, they get God. And that as we look into the truths of these things, we must understand that this is so. That it's not enough that we say, well, you know, Jesus taught us these things, and how much did it really matter anyway? Well, he's saying if they don't matter to you, then it doesn't matter to God. And he's saying that if you reject those teachings, you reject those lessons, then yes, you will stand in friends with the world, that you will stand encouraging the world to be what it is. Now let's move on into verse 22. He says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Now here's the thing. Let me go into 23 as well. We're going to add that. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. More emphasis. Okay, but in 22 he says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. So my first thought in that, when I was reading that to myself and studying on that, I thought, well, what if he just didn't come? Then we'd all be free of sin, right? We wouldn't be guilty. That seems like a pretty simple thing. Don't listen, la, 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 with your fingers in your ears. And he said, I didn't know, I never heard that. But that's not what he wants us to understand. He was referencing the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He came in and he told them the truth. He said, this is the thing, I am the Messiah. I'm the Messiah that you've been waiting for. I'm the Messiah that has come here, that God promised, my Father has promised, here I am. He says, let me show you my signs. Let me show you my deeds. Let me show you my teachings. Let me give you the things that the Father has given me so that you will know that I am He, the Messiah. The one you speak to now, I am He. And so as He brings this to them, it's not that if He just kept His mouth shut that they would have never been guilty, but rather what it was is that they were living in sin. They were living in their guilt. The leaders of the church, the synagogue, those who were in charge, that they were living in sin because they were against God and for themselves. They were out making friends in the world. You know, but as they did all this stuff, then Jesus came in and says, here is the verdict. You are guilty. Okay, that's what he's referring to. He's not referring to the fact that we've never heard this, because what Jesus talks about are all of the things that God has always talked about. He brought the Word of God Himself. He brought His Father's teachings into the world. He Himself, who is God, He brought these things into the world so that we could know Him. That He wanted them to understand that when you stand here and you work against me, you work against the Father. If you won't listen to what I say, my teachings, then you reject the Father as well. But as we then understand all of this, then he says, here's the thing. He says, if I had not come, they would have not known. What would have happened if they were, since they were already a condemned world, this is what would have happened. They would have went off into hell without ever knowing what was up. They would have showed up in front of God and He would have rejected them. But Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself came into the world to help them to understand, this is your salvation. You see, when Jesus stands in the presence of people, He points out their sins. He tells them to repent. It's the Holy Spirit, Him, working in them, that then causes them to repent. And so as then He looks at this, He says their guilt was caused because they were ignoring the teachings of God the Father. Now God the Son is in the world, and they're still trying to ignore it. They're still trying to reject these things. And so then as He stands there in front of them, it's not because they weren't listening. It was because they rejected Him. They didn't want anything to do with Him. You remember the whole thing about the cross. They killed Him. That's how much they wanted Him to stop talking. You see, but what Jesus is helping us all to understand, it's His presence that brings guilt. You see, we fight against conviction, don't we? We don't like being convicted of our sins. We don't like the fact that people point them out. We don't like the fact that anybody shows us our sins. We don't like the fact that sometimes we're looking in the mirror at ourselves and we're thinking, that guy's guilty of sin. Sometimes even as sin. But as we look at ourselves and we start to understand that, we start to fight that conviction. We start to fight Christ. We start to fight His teachings. We start to look away and we just don't want that. You see, that's what's happening to the world. That Jesus came in the world and He shines this big bright light over everything. And all of a sudden, all of what they are is visible in the light of Christ. They start to recognize who exactly they are and who exactly He is. They want to reject that. You see, Jesus says they are without excuse. That He came into the world, that He died for their sins, that their sins have to be recognizable to ourselves. And that as Jesus then shines that light on them, imagine then somebody who rejects Him, when that light shines on them, what their reaction is going to be. They're going to hide in the darkness. And they want you to stop talking. They want you to stop believing. Because whatever you have in Jesus Christ, since they can't see Him, they see it in you. But whatever you have in Jesus Christ then continues to convict them. Do you really think that you're better than me? Seems to be their war cry. Is that what you do, you Christians? Do you stand over the world and judge the world? Stop judging me. That's wrong. Do you, Christian, do you stand over the world and decide who's going to heaven and who's going to hell? Do you, Christian, then, as you bring that out? No, not at all. We were the people of the world. There was a time we stood with them. And then Christ came into our lives. He opened up our hearts and our minds. He opened up our eyes and our ears, and we realized who He was. We realized the love that He had for us, that He gave His one and only Son, that God came down, that Jesus came down, that Jesus died for our sins so we could be free from those sins. Why would we hide from conviction? We wouldn't. We stand in front of it and we say, "Please, Lord, convict me some more. Pierce my heart, Jesus. Pierce my heart so that I can know the sins that I bring in Your presence. So I can know the things that are obstacles between You and I. Pierce my heart, Lord, so when I know I'm not listening to Your lessons, when I'm not obeying Your teachings, pierce me, Lord, so that I can stand in You and stand outside of the world that is lost." You see, this is what Jesus is helping us to understand. This is why the world hates you. Because as you stand and surrender to Jesus Christ, you stand free of your sins. Now, they don't know Christ. They know you. And so their hatred will show on you. If you are living out faith, if you are living out these things in Jesus Christ. So he says that they wouldn't have done that unless he had come. You know, and then I think I read verse 23 there. Let's move on to 24, our final if. He says, "If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father." Jesus came in for a particular purpose, and that was to demonstrate that He was the Messiah. He came in to do signs. He did miracles. He did things so that they would understand. He taught them things so they would understand that He was the Messiah. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. He did all of those things for them so that they would know, that they would pass those teachings on to the rest of us so that we would know. And then we would stand and we would look at this and we would ask ourselves, Jesus, is it true? Is it true that that's what You came into the world for, is to save me from my sins, to make me free? And what Jesus says is that if He hadn't have done that, if He hadn't have shown Himself like that, if He hadn't have demonstrated all of these things, if He wasn't born the child that was prophesied, if He wasn't born the child that would become the man and the man that we would kill on a cross, that if He wouldn't do all of those things, that we would never know that He was the one. We would be walking around still guilty of our sin, but unrecognizing of our sins. In our own minds, in our own hearts, we would think that we were innocent of sin, that we're just good people living good lives. But there is no measure on that. There is no measure on what it takes to be a good person other than this one thing. Who do you follow? Who do you stand next to? Whose light do you stand in and whose darkness do you stand against? Jesus Christ. The one thing. The one thing. The one thing that He gives to us is the one thing that Christ says is the reason they'll hate you. They will not give in to you. You see, without Christ, that's all they can see in us. Without Christ, all they can see is the person. And we know the world is filled with measuring each other. Some of us are taller than others, right? Yeah. I think that's a disadvantage. I think you tall people, you have it the worst. Because you don't get to see what I see. Not just your belt buckle, you know. But there are things in the world, right? You know, we have that, don't we? We have who's the most busiest person in the world? I think that seems to be the real race right now, and that's why Martha and Mary's story hit me this morning. It seems like we're always in a race to be the busiest person. I listen to conversations a lot, and you should probably stop talking around me. You know, but as I listen to the conversations, I hear, "Oh, I'm this busy. And so then the other person says back, "Well, yeah, but this is what I got. You know, I'm busier this way." You know, and so they throw it all back, you know, and it's like, well, where's Christ in all that? Where's Jesus in all that? What are we looking at? Why are we so competitive in that? That we have to be better than somebody, even in the things that we do wrong. I mean, I sat in conversations and now I'm part of them. You know, it's like, oh man, my back hurts today. And it just kind of, I got up this morning and my back was really hurting, it was really aching, and you know, and I didn't really know, you know, I didn't really do anything. It just, man, getting old stinks. And then the other old man says, "Oh, well, my knee, you know, and my other knee, you know." And then the other old guy, he says, "Oh, my shoulder, you know, every time I do this, you know, it hurts." And what does the other two guys tell him? Don't do it. So as we look at ourselves and we see this competition, we must understand it. That's what they see when they look back at us. We must understand that their hatred is what we're going into. You see, the hatred is something that shouldn't scare us away. We should stand there with them, just like Jesus stood there with us. Just like Jesus will stand with you in so many different things, in so many different ways, that even in our sins, He stands with you and He says, repent. Ask for forgiveness. Ask to obey what I'm telling you to do, and I will forgive you, He promises. Just do these things, and we do them. But then all of a sudden, for some reason, somebody just can't. Let's finish this up here in verse 25. He says, "But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason." Here's the one thing that we can expect in the people who hate us. It will be irrational. It will not make any sense. It will be difficult for us to understand. Why are they doing that? Why do they hate us? Why do people take the scripture and try to change it around? That seems irrational to me for a pastor, don't you think? That a pastor would look at the scripture and say, "Well, I know what it says, but here's what we're going to do." That doesn't make any sense. That if you stand up here and you're looking at these words and he says the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. I've got two things to believe in that statement. That number one, if the world hates me, and sometimes it really does. Okay, so in other words, I'm the subject of the hate. That it will hate me. There's a good chance the world's going to hate me. There's an if in there. And then the other one is, well, keep in mind that it hated me first. You see, these words were given to us so that we could understand them. They were given to us so that we could obey them. They were given to us so that we could give our lives to these words. Not because it's a book, but because of the lessons that Jesus teaches us in there. But because of the things that Christ wants us to understand and know, that He wants us to follow Him so that we don't get lost on the way. Because you see, what Jesus says here is that this without reason, how do Christians do that? How do Christians do that? How do Christians say in here that these are the things that God said would be okay? And you look in there and you say, well, that's not what it says at all. How does that happen? What's going on here? Well, it's irrational, number one. And two, they're of the world. We don't like to consider that, but we must. Jesus says that those who I've chosen will obey my teaching. And he says if they won't, then they aren't. But we say, yeah, but man, he's been in church how many years? And you know, his whole life, his family grew up here, and they went to church, and they do all this, and now look what he's doing. But he's still a believer, right? You know, we believe in security. We believe that Jesus has you and he holds you. But we also believe then, too, that then, if that's the case, that you could never fall out of your salvation. That's if you ever were. You see, there's another if. And that's what he gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. So here's what I would like to ask you. During this Christmas season, and as far as you can take it, Jesus says in verses 26 and 27, he says, "And when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the disciples who would become apostles. He's talking to all those who heard his lessons and all those who obey his teachings. He's talking to them. He says, you testify about me, they're going to testify about me. And so that's what we have. Testimony. Place it on your hearts to testify your faith in Jesus Christ this Christmas season. Place it on your hearts that you'll say that to someone who questions whether God and Jesus Christ know what they do. Place it on your hearts to not be afraid to reveal Christ in you. Place it on your hearts not to be afraid to obey what Jesus taught you, to stand in His truth. And place it on your hearts not to be afraid to be ready for the irrational. You see, that's why I'm in a good mood. That's why I'm in a good mood. You see, right before we started today, I was thinking, there's something wrong with me. Because I was looking at some of the things that people do. I was thinking about some of those things. I read that article. I try not to read stuff before I come in the morning, but I did. I made a mistake. And I read that article. And it reminded me that there is a place to stand in truth. And there is a place to stand in reason. And that's Jesus Christ. There is a place to stand where your sins will be forgiven. Well, you will be brought to Him and you'll have eternity with Him. There will be a place to stand then that Jesus reveals Himself to you. And this morning, that's where I was standing. And that's why I'm in a good mood. Christ, my King, has revealed Himself. And I obeyed. How about that? Father, we just thank You so much for this time. I thank You, Lord, that You just give us these opportunities to obey Your teachings. I ask, Father, that You help the people here today, or any who might hear this message, that they would understand that the teaching is Yours and not mine. Certainly, Father, I am held accountable to not only You, but to others. That we know, Father, that it is only Your truth and Your way that we seek. And so I ask, Father, that You help all of us to look to You and You alone, to sit at Your feet, to listen to what You have to say, and to help us, Lord, to be protected from the world wants us to know. In Jesus' name, amen.